Welcome to the Travel Advice Show, where you will learn new ideas that will help you plan a more exciting and memorable vacation. And here are your travel experts, Chris and Jerry.
Thanks for listening to the Travel Advice Show. Today we're going to be talking about adventure travel.
My definition of adventure travel is any trip that is different from the way you live. In other words, if you live in, for example, Iowa, and you haven't been outside of Iowa, maybe even going to New York might be adventure, or Las Vegas might be adventure.
Right.
And some of us who have done real adventure travel, riding camels across the Sahara Desert and all kinds of weird things like that, you'd have to do more adventure things, like maybe doing Kilimanjaro or Fuji or Mount Kinabalu, and or trekking through the jungles of South America, these kinds of things. But basically, there are, I'm going to call it three major types or categories of adventure travel.
Okay.
One of them would be soft adventure. This is for people that would love to do exciting things, but don't want to have to be in too dangerous of an area. In other words, they don't want to wake up with a bushmaster snake outside their tent.
That wouldn't be good. Yeah, I would be very nervous about that.
I've had that happen to me, and I was back in the back of the tent going, "Help, help!"
The
cook came out and saw it. They chased it off, and I said, "We're through with this one." But it was. Yeah. I don't like snakes.
Oh, I'm not a big fan of snakes either. Yeah,
I think they're beautiful to look at, but 2,000 miles away.
Yeah.
But basically, I define a soft adventure trip, basically using like 4 or 5 star hotels, maybe like lodges in Southern Africa, Botswana, Namibia, or Kenya, or Tanzania, something like that. They don't have to be really expensive, but they usually cost a little more because these lodges are in excellent places. And usually you'll have a guide, and they go, like, for example, Antarctica. I would call that a very soft adventure trip. Most people get on a boat either somewhere in southern South America or in the Falklands, go down for 10 days or something, and cruise back across the Drake, and then fly back. It's very adventurous because it's fabulous, but it's very soft. The chances of anything happening to you is very, very slim as far as getting injured or anything like that. Then I call medium adventure, and they can use any kind of hotels, but generally they use moderate, like 3 to 5 star hotels.
Okay, a little bit less expensive than.
Well, they can be much less expensive than the soft.
Uh-huh.
Although you can do a very inexpensive soft adventure trip.
Okay.
Through Europe, maybe the Balkans or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have to be expensive. But generally speaking, the more adventurous or the more unique the destination, the more expensive it becomes.
Okay.
Or if your time is limited and you have to do it, for example, my friend and I spent 12 days in New Zealand, and in that time, we hiked about 85 miles.
Wow.
We rode down a 3,000-foot mountain for 25 miles in mountain bikes. We climbed 2 active volcanoes. One of them was the volcano, the mountain used in The Lord of the Rings. We actually went up to the top where they threw the ring in. And a whole bunch of things, whitewater kayaking, just tons of things. It was really an adventure. None of it was difficult in the sense that if you're in pretty good shape, we made it through. I was 69, almost 70, and we made it through no problem. But to do it in that length of time, we chartered 11 helicopters, 3 planes, and a seaplane.
Wow.
So that we could get everything done we wanted. Now, that becomes expensive, but we only had that short period of time, so we had to spend the money, or we couldn't do it all, and it was worth it, because by the time you go to New Zealand and Australia 2 or 3 times to do what we did, or make it a month, it would still come out more money, so it was just easier.
Mm-hmm.
But pardon?
No, how many weeks did you do the New Zealand adventure there?
Including travel time and everything, and including our time in Australia, which was adventure also, like climbing the Sydney Harbour Bridge, riding Harley Davidson up the coast of Sydney, and sandboarding, and four-wheel driving and sand dunes. We were gone 17 days total.
Oh my gosh! So wow! And would you consider that a medium adventure kind of?
Well, for us, we consider that basically a soft adventure.
Oh wow! Really? Okay.
Yes, because at no time were in any area where a snake could get us, or we'd get malaria, or dysentery, or anything like that.
Okay.
Or somebody would come and shoot at you, or something like that. It was very civilized. And we stayed in phenomenal hotels and private homes, like three rooms in this hotel.
Oh, my gosh.
Absolutely phenomenal. And we just wanted to do it relaxing. And so I would call that soft adventure.
Oh, wow. Okay.
For me, because I'm used to more difficult things.
Mm-hmm.
So then medium adventure, maybe countries like Israel, the normal India-type trip that people do during Mumbai and Delhi and Taj Mahal,
the
normal things that people do.
Yeah.
Now, if you want to go more hard adventure, then you can go up into Ladakh and or take boats through some of the canals and things and do some hiking and going up in the Darjeeling area and some of the mountainous areas, and it becomes a little more adventure.
Any like backpacking and stuff like that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you can do backpacking.
Yeah.
And that type of thing. You can go as difficult as challenging as you want, anywhere in the world, actually. But most of the countries are a little bit, they have to be a little bit more rustic, no tourists or few of them. For example, in the hard adventure, and we're going around the world in 2 weeks, literally leaving 2 weeks today, and part of the trip is we're driving with a driver and a guide from Dushanbe to Osh, and it is a trip that goes over 16,000 foot passes.
Wow.
We spend about a day going along the river which separates Afghanistan and Tajikistan, and maybe something like overlanding in Africa. Mm. An overlanding trip are adventure trips. I've done three of them, like from London to Mombasa and from Kathmandu to Istanbul. And this is where you shop and buy your own food in the local market, and you cook it. And sleep in these truck things that have little bunk beds or tents. I mean, they are adventure. Sometimes you get stuck crossing rivers, and as a result, the local people come out and help you push the thing out. And you can also be things like going through the jungles of the Amazon Basin, or even backpacking parts of Alaska and Canada. Can be hard adventure.
Oh, okay.
So that's what I call adventure travel. Just something you normally don't do, because most people listening to our show don't live that type of life all the time.
Right.
But something that you need to really, I don't want to say worry about, but you must be very concerned about, things such as passports and visas and vaccinations. You must, in almost everywhere that you go that's really unique, your passport must have at least 6 months of validity from the day you leave that country. So if you go to a country, you must leave it before it expires in 6 months after that. Or they won't give you a visa and they won't allow you in. And you need to, depending on what you're doing and where you're going, for example, in Tajikistan, we're going to be going to an area that's sort of a remote government-controlled area, and you need a special permit.
Oh, really?
To get into it. And so as we applied for the normal visa, we told the itinerary said where we're going, and so they gave us another stamp. So it took 2 pages.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Instead of the 1 page just to go to the normal Dushanbe. So you've got to really look at that. And your vaccination, definitely don't go anywhere unless you have a tetanus shot and hepatitis A and B shots.
Right.
Yeah, okay. Don't even go anywhere unique. What my wife would call 80th world countries, and that's a country that doesn't have paper towels in every house.
Oh, okay.
So she, in France, to her, is perfect. For example, or Europe is perfect, but anything other than that standard, she wouldn't go.
Oh wow!
Wouldn't
okay.
do it because she said, "I don't want to get dirty and inconvenience and malaria and that kind of thing." And I said, "Well, it enhances the vacation if you don't get it, and you're so soaked with a mosquito repellent with 100 D that you know you're going to get cancer or something." But it's fabulous. It's a wonderful experience.
Yeah.
And so you need to worry about vaccinations and everything. Each country will tell you what you need, and you better follow it. Because as you're going into some of these countries, like West Africa, and you don't have the vaccination, sometimes they haul you over there and give it to you. And there's no way I want to get a shot in one of these countries because you could get AIDS from it.
Right, right.
So make sure you have that right.
Okay.
And there's some things you need to worry about, like your physical strength and your health. Now, like the one we did in Australia and New Zealand, and the one we're going to do to Dushanbe and all that, you don't need too much help. I mean, we're not going to do a lot of trekking. We're going to climb a little mountain or something. But you don't need to be really, really working out for 200 years or something. Because we're in a car much of the time, or walking through villages, etc. When we went around the world last year, when we were in Bhutan, we did 3 treks. So you had to be a little bit better off because, number one, you're going up and down these hills.
Mm.
And if you haven't done some training, then it can be bad. A little tiring, you can sprain something quicker. The one thing also that you need to be concerned about is be psychologically prepared. Because sometimes it can be quite an experience when you're eating food you've never heard of and don't want to know what it is, first of all. And
yeah.
you're in areas that all of a sudden they cancel your flight. I was in Lubumbashi one time, and we're all checked in. We're at the gate, and then the plane. All of a sudden, out comes a guy with a red carpet, real long one, maybe 100 feet, and out comes a limousine type thing. And here comes a guy with some military people, and it turns out to be the president of the country, and he just takes our plane and leaves.
Oh, my gosh. Whoa.
Yeah. I thought, what am I going to do?
Oh,
there's
no.
Another flight.
Oh, man.
I was going to go to Angola, and so I just hitchhiked from one country to another in Africa. And that's kind of scary. But it worked out okay.
Yeah. You just have to roll with the punches, I guess, you know.
You really do.
You know,
and that just enhances that you have to, if you do adventure travel, have a lot of patience and a great sense of humor.
Just
say, this isn't anything like home. I enjoy it because it's a fabulous experience. Another thing you need to be really aware of is always take more money than you think you will need. Always more money. Because with rare exceptions, it costs more money than you thought. Things come up, and sudden expenses, and you will need it. And some countries you need to worry about. Some countries only take new bills. Like on the trip we're going on.
New bills,
my bank
really?
Yeah. My bank has been collecting $51 bills, a bunch of fives, a bunch of tens, a bunch of twenties in new bills.
Oh, wow.
For me. And so this Wednesday, tomorrow, I'm going to go and pick it up. That's our tip money.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, because some countries will say nothing older than 5 years. Or so. They'll give you a date.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know.
And they'll
say,
and it must be in either good condition or new.
Oh, my gosh.
Europe doesn't care if it's new or, I mean, it doesn't have, can't be torn and beat up, but it can be just normal currency. But some of the countries, you better check, because they won't let you use the money. And many countries don't take credit cards.
Right, right.
And there's no ATMs, no nothing. So you got to be prepared for that. And as you say, on some of the 5-star really deluxe ones, and verify that they will, if they're international chain, 99% of the time they will take credit cards. But no problem. But outside of that, you may not be able to use it. We're going to North Korea in August, and there's no wireless, there's no internet, there's no use of your cell phone, there's no ATM, there's no credit cards. You have to have cash, and our tour operator has told us how much to take, the kind to take, etc. Mm-hmm. So that's something you got to really be concerned about.
Right.
And those are the major things you need to be familiar with, because if that surprises you, then you need to be concerned about it. I know one time my mother, dad, my sister, and I were touring South America, and we were on the train from Puno to Cusco. And in those days, and I think it's about the same, that train, the Peruvian one, we were in Bolivia. We had no Peruvian money because there's no bank that was open that day. So here we are trying to buy some food on that train for the 10-hour train, right? And we had no money. Oh, we had plenty of U.S. dollars. We had Bolivian money, but we had no Peruvian money. Fortunately, there's an American there who lived in Peru. He had been in Bolivia. And so he paid for our food in Peruvian money, and we gave him money in U.S. dollars.
Oh, nice. It worked out.
So he was our banker.
Yeah, it worked out. Yeah, and
you had patience,
and then all of a sudden, like, it usually when you travel, too, it's funny how things kind of just work out, too, sometimes. You might think, like in that case, you guys might not have anything to eat or anything like that, but I've always got rides or people help you out quite a bit if you're willing to have them help you, you know.
I know it.
Yeah.
Now, there's some areas of the world, and then I'm going to talk a little bit about suggested company, but many areas of the world, if you're in your 20s, you can make it okay pretty much on your own. Mm-hmm. As you get older, and as you really know what you're doing, you should go through a tour operator. Mm-hmm. And they will generally book at any level you want, from two-star hotels up to five-star, and you can tell them what you want, what you don't want, where you want to meet them, etc. But there are areas like Dushanbe, the Osh, then we want a driver and a guide because we don't speak any of their languages. We have no clue what's going on. And there's nobody else there, okay?
Right.
And there's almost no tourist. So we want somebody that speaks the language that knows what's happening. And if something happens, they'll know exactly what to do. And it's well worth it. And I'm going to mention a few companies that
okay.
I have used. I know them personally, and we don't get a kickback or anything on that nature.
Sure.
But I know they're great. For example, Safari Studio in Vancouver area, British Columbia. Chris Bradshaw is the owner of it. And I use them for 90% of my Africa trips, particularly for Egypt, East Africa, and Southern Africa.
Oh, okay.
They will go they know everything about it. It's amazing. You want to do overlanding? They'll book that for you. If you want to go inexpensive, they'll do that. If you want to go with chartered planes and magnificent lodges, they'll do that. Whatever you want to do. And I have used them for maybe 25 years and for all my Africa trips, and they're phenomenal. I've never had a problem.
Oh, that's great.
And they will do, they have trips that they have booked that you can just join with other people if you want, or they will arrange it just you. And there's a company called Distant Horizons. And this company is out of Long Beach, California. And they will do FITs. In other words, they'll do trips the way you want it. But they offer such wild itineraries.
Oh, really?
Wild
oh, okay.
itineraries. I mean, you just name it. And it's really interesting. I mean, they offer trips to Libya and like some of the Silk Road route and Tibet, Bhutan, and Sikkim, and all over. I mean, it's amazing. They offer, they're more educational type tours. Oftentimes, they'll have a guest a professor or something like that.
Oh.
And they're more intellectual, and the group sizes are small. Now, there's a company that I have used. It's called Overseas Adventure Travel, or OAT. And this company is just quite unique. It's out of Massachusetts, and they've been in business a very long time. They have very small groups, usually no more than about 15 or so, and they do unique places. I mean, they may go to Japan, and And they don't really spend any time like in Tokyo and Osaka and all that, but they will go by train and car and things in the rural areas. And their Thailand trips are very unique. They do some basic overlanding type things everywhere in the world they go.
Oh, cool.
And they're really unique. And they're not very expensive. There's another company that called R. Cruso. It's R, period, and C, R, U, S, O, E, and Sun. They're a little more, they're expensive. But they do things that are so interesting. Mm-hmm. And very, very unique. And they will design it the way you want it, if you want to do that. Now, there's another one that is called Adventure Center. This company I know very, very well, and they're out of California also. And they sort of represent a wide variety of adventure tour companies throughout the world. And So they have a whole list of them. And you can book individual ones. And they have very small groups. And they do a wide variety. I mean, everywhere in the world you'd ever want to go. And they do it very differently, different itineraries. And they're very inexpensive, considering on that. Now, for those that want to go like walking trips and cycling trips and hiking trips, primarily in Europe, but they do other places, some in Africa and biking in Vietnam, for example. But they're really famous for their European ones, and they do interesting things in the U.S., that you would not believe. I mean, they do a Utah and Arizona biking trip. And amazing where you go. I mean, they go up through the Grand Canyon and Bryce, and you're on a bicycle much of the way.
Oh, my gosh, wow.
And they're world famous for doing their cycling trips and the walking trips through Europe, primarily like in England and France and Italy primarily. But they're a phenomenal company. Now, there's a company that I really like, and they've been in business a long time. I'm going to say maybe 30 years or something. And they specialize they're mainly boat trips. And they specialize in the Arctic and the Antarctic. And Quark Expeditions is phenomenal. We're going on a trip where we're going to fly down to Punta Arenas in southern Chile. And we get on a plane and fly to King George Island. And then we spend about 5 days on a boat going through the famous parts of Antarctica. Then we come back to King George and fly back. That way we don't have to cross 2 days going down on the Drake and 2 days coming back, which can be absolutely torturous.
Yeah, that's yours. Yeah.
There's another company which I absolutely love. I have used them forever. Doug Grimes owns it out of Seattle. And they specialize in the CIS countries. The old USSR.
Oh, okay. Like Kyrgyzstan and
yes, all those things. They're doing an around the world trip.
Oh, wow.
In 2 weeks. And they're absolutely fabulous for these countries. We used them 2 years ago when we went to Iran and Azerbaijan, Georgia, and Armenia. And they'll do any price range you want. And as much free time as you want, any way you want it. You just tell them what you want. And they will book it, and they will offer fabulous ideas. I mean, they're just phenomenal people. And they'll book the airfare for you if you want at good rates, and whatever you want to do. And they do those countries, Iran, China, Mongolia, and the CIS countries of Russia.
Okay. Great. Wow. And it sounds like those are some great companies to kind of help you, it sounds like a lot of them are... You know, they can kind of customize it for what you want, you know, and what you're looking for.
Most of these can.
Yeah.
Because the more you travel, the more you know what you want to do. Sometimes you just don't want to be on a bus load with 45 people going to a museum. Maybe you just want to have you and maybe one or two other people. You get in your car with the driver and guide. The driver stops you right in front of the Louvre. In with the guide, you go see what you want to see, and you go out, get in the car, or whatever you want to do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So there's a wide variety of opportunities in adventure travel, all kinds of styles, just start out with something totally different from the way you live.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, even if you live in Europe, I mean, you can even, let's say you live in Paris, maybe you'll want to go to do a cycling tour of a Provence or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's something you normally don't do, and start that way. And pretty soon you'll find yourself cameling through the center of Australia. So, there's so many things. If you're doing Australia, New Zealand, Australia 2000, Karen there, and Australia 2000.
Australia 2000, okay.
Yeah. They specialize in anything you want to do in Australia, New Zealand. Okay. Anything. Any price range, anything you want to do. And mix and match and combine. They did our Australia, New Zealand one and offered a whole lot of suggestions to make it even more exciting. What started out to be a one-week trip in New Zealand, where we were just going to basically do the Milford Track and a couple of other things in Queenstown and come home, turned out to be a 17-day trip, including travel.
Uh-huh.
And every second, I mean, for old people, that was very exhausting, but we had a magnificent time.
That's great.
So I recommend, Chris, that everyone do something adventure.
Yeah.
Because it enlightens your life, it just changes you, and you become a much better person.
Yeah, exactly. When I started traveling, you know, when I was like 18, 19, or 20, around there, and it really opened up my eyes, because you're so used to your environment, to what you see all the time, and then meeting new people. I think people were the best part for me. I liked meeting people, you know, and eating good food and drinks.
Or just eating food that's edible.
Yeah, right.
In certain
right.
places, you don't know, as I mentioned, you don't know what you're eating.
You don't know what it is.
And you just hope it's been boiled a long time. It's not rotten.
When I was in China, I was like, what is this? And actually, I ate it, and I didn't care. It was so good, you know, sometimes.
I know it.
Well, that's great, Jerry. Well, that sounds great. Well, you know, I think we have a good overview now of adventure travel, so people can kind of figure out what area they want to, you know, do, you know, soft, medium, hard. But I think the main thing is the preparation is really, really key, like 6 months, a year out, and really, you know, the passports, you know, the visas are super important, but also your health and your carry extra cash, brush up on your patience and sense of humor, a lot of the basic keys there. But, well, that's great. Well, thanks, Jerry. And thank you.
My pleasure.
Yeah. And thank you, everybody, for listening. And our website is traveladviceshow.com. And, please stay tuned for more shows for giving advice about traveling around the world and trying to help you have a better experience. So till next time, safe travels.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.